As the youngsters reached the jeep, Violet tried to remember if they had even thanked him for taking them to the movies, but the night was all a blur. She thought that she, Klaus, and Sunny had probably said, "Thank you, Uncle Monty," when they were standing together at the ticket booth, but she couldn't be sure. Stefano opened the door of the jeep and gestured with the knife, ushering Klaus and Sunny into the tiny back seat, and Violet, the black suitcase heavy on her lap, into the front seat beside him. The orphans had a brief hope that the engine would not start when Stefano turned the key in the ignition, but this was a futile hope. Uncle Monty took good care of his jeep, and it started right up. Violet, Klaus, and Sunny looked behind them as Stefano began to drive alongside the snake-shaped hedges. At the sight of the reptile room, which Uncle Monty had filled so carefully with his specimens, and in which he was now a sort of specimen himself, the weight of the Baudelaire's despair was too much for them, and they quietly began to cry. It is a curious thing, the death of a loved one. We all know that our time in this world is limited, and that eventually all of us will end up underneath some sheet, never to wake up. And yet it is always a surprise when it happens to someone we know. It is like walking up the stairs to your bedroom in the dark and thinking there is one more stair than there is. Your foot falls down through the air, and there is a sickly moment of dark surprise as you try and readjust the way you thought of things. The Baudelaire orphans were crying not only for their Uncle Monty, but for their own parents, and this dark and curious feeling of falling that accompanies any great loss. What was to happen to them? Stefano had heartlessly slaughtered the man who was supposed to be watching over the Baudelaires, and now they were all alone. What would Stefano do to them? He was supposed to be left behind when they went to Peru, and now he would be leaving with them on the Prospero. And what terrible things would happen in Peru? Would anybody rescue them there? Would Stefano get his hands on the fortune? And what would happen to the three children afterward? These are frightening questions, and if you are thinking about such matters, they require your full attention, and the orphans were so immersed in thinking about them that they didn't realize that Stefano was about to collide with another automobile until the moment of impact. There was a horrible tearing sound of metal and glass as a black car crashed into Uncle Monty's jeep, throwing the children to the floor with a jarring thump that felt as though it left the Baudelaire stomachs up on the seat. The black suitcase lurched into Violet's shoulder, and then forward into the windshield, which immediately cracked in a dozen places so it looked like a spider web. Stefano gave a cry of surprise and turned the steering wheel this way and that, but the two vehicles were locked together, and with another thump, veered off the road into a small pile of mud. It is a rare occurrence when a car accident can be called a stroke of good fortune, but that was most certainly the case here. With the snake-shaped hedges still clearly visible behind them, the Baudelaire's journey toward Hazy Harbour had stopped. Stefano gave another sharp cry, this one of rage.
"Blasted furnaces of hell!"
he shouted, as Violet rubbed her shoulder to make sure she wasn't seriously hurt. Klaus and Sunny got up cautiously from the jeep floor and looked out the cracked windshield. There appeared to be only one person in the other car, but it was hard to tell, as that vehicle had clearly suffered much more damage than Monty's jeep. Its entire front had pleated itself together like an accordion, and one hubcap was spinning noisily on the pavement of Lousy Lane, making blurry circles as if it were a giant coin somebody had dropped.